Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Rachel Patton, and Rachel is the owner of Food is Love, Love is Food. I always wonder about people who end up in the food business and wonder about kind of their growing up time and whether they had people that mentored them as children to have an appreciation for good food. Did you have that sort of thing growing up?
Yeah, definitely. Both my parents worked 9 to 5 every day. And one day, my mom comes home, and I'm in fifth grade, and she says, all right, from now on, you're cooking dinner every night for the whole family. That's it.
Wow, at 10, you were 10 years old, and you're the head chef for the family.
Yeah, I mean, she had my sister and I help her with chores and cooking, so I was pretty familiar with some basic meals that we normally ate. And I was able to do it, you know, with pretty little direction. And I can read a recipe and all that stuff. It was a chore. She made it pretty clear. She was just like, no, I work too hard, you know, like you need to pick up the slack. And then I started cooking dinner. And pretty soon, like, I realized that not everybody gets to learn that, you know. And as I grew up and I went to college, and my first year in college where I lived away from home, I had like 3 roommates. I was the only one who could like go to the grocery store and buy raw ingredients and cook something, you know, and that blew my mind. I'm like, really? You don't know how to make noodles with sauce? And I mean, like stuff you open in a can, that's easy, but like adding things and putting vegetables
in. And being really comfortable in the kitchen and being really comfortable with what goes together. If I don't have all the right things, what do I have on the shelf I can make a meal out of?
Exactly. I think that specifically is why I do what I do today. When you can look around your environment and just go, oh, well, we've got some seasoning and we've got some stuff in the fridge that needs to be used. And just being able to compose that in your head without having to go, oh, well, we don't have this ingredient, so we can't have this dish. It takes time and a lot of practice and a lot of tasting.
What were some of the things you made really successfully when you were a child?
We ate a lot of meat and potatoes and frozen veggies, and like we didn't eat fresh. I didn't actually like vegetables at all until I was much older. So learned how to cook steak in the oven and chicken, like baked chicken. And my favorite dish were egg noodles with sausage and stewed tomatoes with spices and garlic in it. And when that came out good, I was like, oh, I know what I'm doing, you know? I kind of loved the opportunity I had in order to avoid the meals that I actually didn't like. Because if I were cooking, then...
Oh, really? You got that control.
Yeah. My least favorite thing that we ate was rice with the LaCroix canned veggies with the crispy things and the can on top. Oh, that was the worst thing ever. I'm like, oh, I'll do everything I can to not have to resort to that tonight.
So you came up to Humboldt to go to school. Where did you come from?
Well, I've moved around all of my young life, but my homeland is Florida. And I moved directly here from North Carolina, where I'd been living for like a year. I wanted to go to school to study botany, and it had been about 7 years since I had left my first college degree, and I'm a sucker for scenery, so that's really what sold me. I had a partner at the time, and she had been from here.
So did the botany background move you along your journey to using local food and produce?
Initially, when I wanted to start studying botany, I was really interested in ethnobotany, how foods and cultures blend together. I finished my degree, and at the end of my degree, I really was just like sitting on the couch one day, and in that whole turmoil of post-graduation of what am I going to do now, I thought of the food delivery business, and I do love our local agriculture so much, and the more I got into it, the more I realized that I was able to use what I learned in school to weave together the intention of my business and how I ended up turning my interest back into ethnobotany on a really localized level. I never realized that I could kind of study it this closely. And we have such an amazing local food scene here. A bunch of producers who can produce a diversity of foods from several different micro ecosystems within like a 100-mile radius. You know, like in ecology, you get turned on to more permaculture ideas naturally because nature doesn't produce waste and its recycling mechanism is part of how it regenerates. It's very obvious we need to plug that concept into how we do business, especially with food from now on. People are pretty familiar with the failures of our food system. I'm not saying that buying locally will change everything about it. It might not, but it makes people more aware of what they're consuming and what they're buying and how their money directly affects the environment they live in. As I'm like designing my business, I feel like I'm constructing a thesis almost. I do a lot of kind of thought experiments with how to buy produce. It is very tricky on a small scale from a diverse amount of producers. Mm-hmm.
I know. That's the thing about, you know, having a business, a food business, and sourcing locally mm-hmm. is while it sounds good in theory, the practical nature of it can be really challenging. You know, getting mm-hmm. the same thing all the time at the same quality year-round isn't going to happen. So you best think of things seasonally and, you know, not figure you're going to cook exactly the same thing all the time, being able to react to the changes.
To make that successful, you have to be really quick with what can you do with this pallet of produce that came uh-huh. out this month, you know?
Yeah.
You have a little wiggle room with dry goods. If you buy a 25-pound bag of sunflower seeds, there's a lot you can do with that. And that's a fat, that's a protein. I mean, like, that's meat, uh-huh. in quotation marks.
Uh-huh.
And tasting what comes out, you know, seasonally is a way to broaden your palate, too. You know, if you're a picky eater, it can be intimidating to go and buy one of my wraps that's filled with, like, chipotle parsnip spread and lentil salad with shredded cabbage and a miso sauce. Like, maybe you've never had those things before. Mm-hmm. But it's worth going out there and kind of sampling, this is what a cold snap will produce. This is what extended summer heat will produce. Yeah, I think on a larger scale, it helps people learn the meaning of climate.
I'm wondering, too, about your business name, Food is Love, Love is Food. Because it just reminds me of how many cultures there are that's how you show people how much you care is yeah. because you put your time and your thoughtfulness into something for them. I mean, in our family, if somebody's sick or somebody, you know, whatever it is, you know, we always go over with food.
Mm.
You know, that's our way of saying, yeah, we really don't know. We can't really fix your problem for you, but we can feed you. You know, so yeah. it seems like so many cultures, that's the truth.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times it's hard to love yourself when you're down, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Food is Love, Love is Food came about through a collection of people's stories about food. And, you know, some of them are dark. Some of them are really, like, joyful and loving. I mean, like, it runs a spectrum. Food affects you on the level of love in all kinds of ways. And, you know, when you're a busy single person who runs a business, it can be really hard to remember to eat a meal because you're like, oh, I gotta go. You know, I don't have time for anything but coffee. You know, I check myself. I'm like, well, you know, you got to feed yourself. And I think in terms of like buying locally and expressing your love for people, like when you buy with intention, you're acknowledging your love for your land, your fellow farmer, your neighbor. You know, when that money stays in town, that is meaningful to people here. And food is love. Like that really translates when you consume food conscientiously.
I agree. How can people get a hold of you?
You can check out my website first, foodislove.wordpress.com. We also have a Facebook page, Food is Love, Love is Food on Facebook. You can call or text me. My number is 707-601-1145. And currently we're working toward opening our fresh wrap booth at the farmer's market. You can come to the farmer's market and buy our homemade, gluten-free, vegan tortilla-style wraps and little mini empanadas.
Yum. That's great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Rachel Patton. Food is love, love is food.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.